My cue, my teleprompter is blank. You pulled the UN thing on me, I can't see there. So anyway, this is the regular meeting of the Water Wastewater Committee of the Town of Discovery Bay. I'd like to call it to order, and I'd ask for roll call, please.
Roll call's been taken. Let the record show all members are present.
Perfect. This is the time for public comment. This would be if you have something that was related to water and wastewater that was not an agendized item, and you would like to speak to us about your concerns. We'd love to hear about it. We have nobody in the room. Well, we have very important people in the room, but nobody from the public in the room. Is there anybody online that is at all there?
There are no hands raised.
Is there anybody online?
Presenters.
Great. So being that there is no public comment, no hands raised, I will close public comments at this point. And I would ask for a motion to approve.
Make a motion to approve the water wastewater minutes.
And I will second that. And by majority, that passes. And now we're going to move on to some interesting stuff. Discussion items E1, which is a presentation, I believe, by Justin Shove. Justin, welcome. With regards to our urban water management plan and risk and resilience assessment. How you doing, buddy?
Hello. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. You can actually hold on a second. Go ahead. Talk some more so we can
okay.
Adjust it.
Yeah. I just want to make sure I'm coming in loud and clear, not too loud.
Perfect. Right there, Bill. Thank you. Yeah, we got you.
Okay, great. I'm going to see if I could go video on. Do you guys have a screen that you're... Okay, great. Hi, how are you?
Hello.
There's... we have a presentation prepared for you tonight, so I could just dive right into that.
Let's do that.
Okay, sounds good. I think I'm going to just make sure we get the technical parts figured out. I want to do a screen share. Here we go. And here.
If you can hear it, I'm good. If I can hear it, everybody can hear it.
Okay, let me know if you can see the screen.
See you, but we do not see the presentation.
Okay. Let's try this again. Yeah.
Now we see us.
How are we doing now?
I'll fix it. It's on.
Hold on 1 minute. We're getting there.
All right.
We got you.
All right. We're good to go?
Yeah.
Great. Thank you. Yeah. Well, good evening. Thanks for having me. For the Town of Discovery Bay, I've prepared this presentation regarding an update on the Urban Water Management Plan and the Risk and Resilience Assessment. I just wanted to start off and say that I'm very excited to be here working with the town again. It's been maybe 4 years since I've been at one of these committees. And there'll be some other presentations regarding these topics as well. In the future, I plan to be there in person. I just couldn't make it tonight. I had a prior commitment to my wife's birthday, but that's the reasonable excuse. But yes, I'm glad that we can accommodate this with Zoom. So thank you very much for having me.
No problem.
Yeah. So this update is regarding the Urban Water Management Plan and the Risk and Resilience Assessment. These are two items that Shove Engineering. I'm Justin Shove with Shove Engineering. My partners, my engineering partner, business partner, Philip Lamoureux, probably on the line as a guest as well. So he's working with me on these assignments. So today is an update for you on what we're doing. I'm going to try to go to the next slide. Here we are. Purpose and outcome. We should be looking at slide 2 now. Okay. So basically we just want to cover 3 main goals. Provide you with an overview of what we're doing on these urban water management plan and risk and resilience assessment, a status on that. Within that, confirming that this planning document is considering and being in alignment with prior planning the town's done regarding like your master plan and the regional planning, such as the county's general plan and the SGMA, the groundwater sustainability plan. So just kind of demonstrating that we're building this in alignment with planning that the town's already done. And then we want to preview the population and projection, population and supply projections that would be going into the urban water management plan.
Sounds
So,
good. Hey, quick question for clarification. This is a mandated report by the state. Why are we doing this, and how often do we have to do it?
all right, perfect segue into my next slide.
Oh, I guess I
So,
should.
no, you could go for it. This is exactly how I planned it. The Urban Water Management Plan is a state-mandated water supply planning document. It's standardized in terms of how it's prepared and the content that goes into it. It's required for agencies that serve over 3,000 service connections or over 3,000 acre feet per year. The town has about a little over 6,000 connections and supplies approximately 3,000 acre feet per year. So it is required. That's one reason that it's being done. It is a it accomplishes a supply outlook for the town. And it's solely just looking at supply. It's not like a master plan that's looking at infrastructure. It's really just a 25-year outlook on the availability of supply to meet a hypothetical demands that you might have over a 25-year horizon. It demonstrates that the content in the plan will demonstrate that the town is in compliance with conservation practices, and that it has a water shortage contingency plan, which is essentially the policy adopted by the town for as a playbook during a drought. So there's a lot of these kind of requirements that need to be demonstrated for the state. It's also used by the county and by LAFCO to determine that there's water supply adequacy when they're looking into development projects. So when they're going and reviewing development projects, they first make sure that there's water supply adequacy, which can be determined through the Urban Water Management Plan.
I was at the LAFCO meeting this month, and that was actually on their agenda this month. They discussed the water districts that are being that they're responsible for, that they have some oversight for.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. But it's not what it's not a master plan. And so what that means is it's not a design document. It's not developing capital improvements or infrastructure planning. It's not sizing your wells or your pipes or your tanks. And it's also not project specific. So it's not determining water requirements for a particular development. That would be more of the realm of a master plan, where we're looking at really more precise planning for specific projects and infrastructure needs for those projects. So just to differentiate the two. I'm going to move on. Does that answer your question there?
Yes, great.
All right.
Thank you.
So the schedule for adoption is shown on this slide. It's due to DWR by July 1st, and it needs to be adopted by the board of directors and submitted to DWR before July 1st. So working back from that date, we've developed a schedule that's providing sufficient time for public review, for the board to weigh in, and make sure that the plan is finalized before that date. There is a requirement for a 60-day public notification, notifying the public and nearby agencies of the intent to adopt the plan. So we're targeting January to submit these public notices, and we're planning for two board meetings. There would be an initial one in March or April timeframe, which would be presenting a draft, and that would be providing that kind of initial opportunity for public to review, to weigh in. And then if there's any comment, we could receive direction from the board at that meeting for making amendments to the plan. And then we would go make amendments, so there wouldn't be any action to adopt at that first meeting. Just assuming that there will be comments and there will be some feedback. And then there would be a second meeting in the May timeframe, and that would be for formal adoption of the plan with any amendments that we'd made. We still haven't received the guidebook from DWR. It keeps getting kind of kicked down the road, but it sounds like for sure it's coming out this month. So we're anticipating DWR's guidebook. But they've notified us that there's really not many significant, there's no significant changes from the 2020 Urban Water Management Plan guidebook. So we've got, we've got a good understanding of what needs to go in it, but we're still waiting for that guidebook. And then there's a chance that the town's water shortage contingency plan may need to get updated. And we're just going to wait for that guidebook to come out before we conclude on that. If the water shortage contingency plan, which is a separate plan that was adopted by the board, separate from the urban water management plan, if we determine there needs to be any updates, then there would be a separate meeting for that, which would probably take place in January as well, so that we can propose amendments, recommend it to be adopted, and then incorporate that into the urban water management plan.
Okay.
That's the current schedule. Switching gears slightly, we're also working on, this is just an overview of this other document that we're assisting with. It's different than the urban water management plan, but there's some overlapping content, I guess. But this is the risk and resilience assessment, and this is mandated also. It's mandated by EPA under the America's Water Infrastructure Act of 2018. The focus of the RRA, the Risk and Resilience Assessment, the RRA, is looking at the reliability of the system against natural hazards and malevolent acts like cyber attacks or physical breaches. So it's a physical security review, and it's a review of sites and practices and monitoring that takes place within the town. There's a standardized approach through AWWA for conducting these. I participated personally in the one that was done in 2020. These are also documents that get updated every 5 years. This RRA is due June 30th, 2026. Something important though is the document itself, the report of findings from the risk and resilience assessment isn't made public. So it's not the risk and resilience assessment isn't actually physically submitted to EPA. That what's submitted to EPA is a self-certification of the town certifying to the EPA that they've conducted a risk and resilience assessment and have identified countermeasures in accordance with the standard practices for conducting these, and that the town would incorporate countermeasures in their emergency response plan, which is due 6 months after the RRAs need to be completed. So there won't be like a public presentation on the findings, because we're essentially identifying weaknesses, and that's not the thing you want to broadcast out, is where your weaknesses are in your system. If that makes sense. But we'll be working very closely with staff as we develop that. We've conducted our initial walkthroughs, inspections, and our next step is to have some interviews with staff and with operations, digging more into the practices and going through a lot of the standardized procedures for analyzing the system's resilience. So I just wanted to give you an overview and an update on the RRA. This slide is just looking at, we're going to start looking at now the snapshot of the water system. So Discovery Bay, we know we're a community of about 16,000 people in East Contra Costa County. The Community Services District provides water and wastewater to the community, and the community isn't connected to any other urban sprawls. It's about 5 miles or so to the city of Brentwood. The water is derived solely from groundwater. with wells that the town owns and operates, and they're treated for removal of iron and manganese at the Newport and the Willow Lake treatment plant. And we know that you're making a lot of progress on well eight. Well eight is going to be a standalone well that will have its own treatment plant that provides water into the system. So it'll be kind of a third source of supply to the system, which will improve resilience and operational flexibility. And we understand that that's the last phase of that is in construction right now. We know that the town is also a groundwater sustainability agency under the SGMA, under the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act, and has joined together with the other groundwater sustainable agencies within your groundwater subbasin, the East Contra Costa subbasin, to prepare a groundwater sustainability plan. So essentially, the town uses groundwater. There's no inner ties with other agencies, but you're actively participating in the measures needed to ensure the sustainable production of groundwater from your basin. So just wanted to kind of provide that overview of the system in the context of what we're talking about with planning and risk and resilience and things like that. A little bit more overview in terms of planning, just in the research that we're doing for the Urban Water Management Plan and the Risk and Resilience Assessment, we're looking for what's changed in the last 5 years since these were done. What are the updates? So, and what's the planning saying at the county level as well? So we're looking at the general plan. We know that the general plan was adopted. The county's 2045 plan was adopted November 2024. There's some zoning and code updates, but nothing really significant within Discovery Bay. We were made aware from staff, from your staff, that that the county is in the process of updating the urban limit line. And so we've been doing some research on that as well. We know that's going to voters next year. And so that'll actually shrink the urban limit line to remove the northern portion of the Cicchini property and to remove a portion that's also just north of Pantages and kind of east of Discovery Bay West, making those subdivision buffer and agricultural easement. In looking at these updates, we were, you know, looking through LAFCO documents, and we saw some interesting things, like for Rec 800. Rec 800, of course, is overlapping Discovery Bay in terms of jurisdiction. Their primary focus is protecting the communities from flood. They manage the levees and the flood management systems. And LAFCO had a interesting financial status report that was saying that Rec 800 actually has one of the highest financial status of the reclamation districts in the area. And so that seemed like a pretty positive sign for the agency that manages and protects the town from flooding. These are just kind of updates. This next slide is just a slide of land use from the general plan, and it's really just context. You know, what I read from this is looking at this compared to the prior land uses, there's really not significant changes for the town moving forward in terms of how it's how the land use zoning is working. There's residential uses along the bays, and there's pockets of commercial and mixed use on Discovery Bay Boulevard and Highway 4. And then moving on, we did also see that in the general plan there was a housing element countywide. They were identifying candidate sites for rezoning that could be rezoned to residential if needed to help with housing shortfalls. And these sites that are highlighted on this slide are what the county identified as candidate sites within Discovery Bay.
Justin, this is Caroline. I just want to have a quick question. Is anyone aware of any developers that have contacted us or are looking at any of the sites other than the one across the street?
No one has contacted us yet.
Thank you.
And I just want to take this time also to note that in the Urban Water Management Plan, it's not really site specific for the growth. We'll get into that coming up here. We were just doing some background research on seeing if there's been any sort of major changes in terms of planning or growth or housing or developments, and there really isn't. So I'm just kind of reporting on that. But these like particular areas that are highlighted here isn't really significant from the urban water management standpoint. As we'll get into, we're looking at more of like broad scenarios in terms of growth within the urban limit line. So it's not project specific or site specific. We also just noted some regional water supply updates, not directly relevant to Discovery Bay, but just good to be aware of. And so as we're doing research, we're coming across these things. We're sure you're aware of these as well. But this is just kind of an overview of regional water supplies. We know Contra Costa County is a wholesale supplier, and they provide surface water, treated and untreated surface water. Such as to Diablo Water District for the Randall Bold Water Treatment Plant and the City of Brentwood Water Treatment Plant that's right next door. And they maintain the multi-purpose pipeline for conveyance of treated and untreated wholesale supplies. And ECCID and BBID, the two major irrigation districts within the area, are also wholesale suppliers. ECCID supplying water to Brentwood, and BBID supplying water to the city of Mountain House. And then we saw that Antioch actually just had a very major desalination plant come online this year, which is a big reliability benchmark for the region. Allowing them to treat from the San Joaquin River year round, reducing their reliance on the purchase supplies that they have. So, just wanted to kind of share the updates. We were talking about that with staff, with Dina and the team when we were doing this update. And so I thought we'd just kind of just provide the knowledge. It's not really directing the urban water management plan one way or another, but in terms of looking at how others regionally are handling water supplies, knowing that there is wholesale supplies, there is a mixture of groundwater and surface water, and the town is operating only on groundwater, and and has the ability to do so. There isn't any shortage of groundwater. So next, I'm going to be getting into now we're going to get into the population and demand projections for the urban water management plan. The methodologies that we use are really just building off of what was done previously in the 2020 urban water management plan, and also the master plans. The town's conducted a water master plan from 2012, a wastewater master plan from 2018, and there was a water demand assessment done for Chicchini in 2021. The methods that I'm going to present here are consistent with the Urban Water Management Plan framework. The Urban Water Management Plan uses population as the basis, population and gallons per capita, the amount of water used per person. In contrast, the master plans are service connection based. We look at service connections and EDUs, the equivalent dwelling unit. So that's how much a commercial or a irrigation service is, how many dwelling units it's equivalent to. So there's two different kind of factors used for these demand projections, and we're bringing things into population for the purpose of urban water management plan. Just a note about demands, when in the two different types, when we're looking at urban water management plan, it's different than the demand estimates for a master plan. Like I said, their master plan uses the EDU, which is essentially looking at how much water a single home uses. And when we're estimating the demands, the purpose of that for a master plan is to size infrastructure. So we're looking at actual usage as the factors, and we're looking at specific projects, like specific development projects, and estimating how much water is needed to meet a certain development, and then assessing infrastructure needs. That's a master plan. The urban water management plan is really just looking at the supply needs over a much longer horizon and not specific to any particular project. So it basically wants to know, is there sufficient supply in your however you're getting water? And for you, it's groundwater. And the demand factor that's used is based on this, it's at the bottom of the slide. It says SBX7-7. That's the basis for the urban water management plan. And that was derived in your prior urban water management plans. It's the target per capita water usage that was developed as part of the conservation regulations, the conservation laws. So there was this law that came out in 2010 that was the you had to do 20% reduction by the year 2020. And that established what the target per capita water usage is. And when we're doing an urban water management plan, that's the number that we used to project demand. It's a different number. It's actually a much bigger number than what you actually use. So just you'll see as we get there. So I'm just kind of prefacing it. This next slide is now getting into the numbers. This is the basis for the master plans in terms of growth. These were in the master plans, the identified infill and projects outside of the service area. So in the master plan and in the follow-up updates, such as the 2021 Chicchini Ranch update, this was the total number of service connections that have been estimated for these specific developments for those plans. And you see today you have 6,166 service connections. Once the infill is completed from what was envisioned in the water master plan and the wastewater master plan, you'll be at 7,212 service connections. And then if Chicchini Ranch ever came along, that adds another couple thousand. So now you're at 9,298 service connections. So
Hold on
this
one
is.
second. Justin, hold on one second. Where do we have 926 lots available for build-out, Aaron?
We only have a few vacant lots
that I'm aware of.
You have 300, 250 roughly for Seagrass and Pantages. You got another 50 for Newport.
So Pantages isn't in, because those have not been yet built out. So there's
Correct.
about 300. Okay, so but that's still I can't envision 600 lot empty lots in Discovery Bay.
They must be incorporating some of the other vacant lots, like maybe the units right here across the street.
Well, they have that under multi. Okay, just curious. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Justin.
No,
Numbers
that's
on
what
this.
it that's correct. I mean, that's what it was when the master plan was conducted. It was the specific projects that you noted, like Pantages, Discovery Bay West, Newport Point, but it was also infill of available lots. So when we were analyzing the master plan, it was looking at the potential service connections that would happen if the infill occurred on your vacant lots.
Got it.
All right. So there's a more detailed table that kind of breaks it out by area. And we did an update. We said, okay, where were we at when this was analyzed in 2021? How many homes were added? Where are we at now? So we did an update, but the infill number, the full build-out number is still the same. The full build-out number hasn't changed from what was originally. So we're just really building off of how it was envisioned in the 2012 master plan and the update since then. This next one is a look at your historic production and service connections, and this is just to kind of see the story in terms of the historic growth and the changes in demand that have occurred over the last decade. Of course, growth and service connections and demand were pretty consistent up till around 2006 or 7, and kind of flattened out a little bit, but then the demand significantly dropped off during the drought in 14 to 17.
The
And
drought, that's what's showing that. Okay.
exactly. So that production is this solid black line, and service connections is this softer green line. And we could see service connections kind of increasing rapidly in the early 2000s and late 90s, and then kind of flattening out. But then we had demand drop off significantly during the drought. And then in 2017, 18, the town completed the meter project. So likely with meters and the demands that of the demand reductions are probably somewhat permanent. There's probably a lot of permanent reduction that'll have occurred because of conservation practices and meters. But we are seeing, from 2015 to present, a slight upward trend. But probably nothing that'll be like a full rebound to the pre-2009 demand usage. So this slide is to demonstrate the unit water demand and basically just showing that it really hasn't changed in the last 5 years. So we're looking at what's been going, how has demand been changing since we looked at it in 2020? And this the data on the top is calculated usage per service connection as an average flow rate. But this is from actual meter deliveries, actual meters, actual number of service connections calculated into a usage per service connection. And you could see it just doesn't change very much. We then calculated the EDU basis for 2025 based on these numbers, and then compared that to when it was analyzed in 2021, and that EDU factor just hasn't really changed very much. So demands are somewhat stable right now in terms of water used per service connection. That's the takeaway here. Now this is the population and demand projection. So this is showing one scenario, I guess, of growth and the resulting.
Hold on a second, Jesse.
Just
Carolyn
one
has a
second.
question.
So, according to this, unless I'm reading it wrong, we only went up a population increase by 100 people between 2020 and 2025.
Yeah. Oh, well, I don't have a very big change in service connections from 2020 to 2025 based on the records that I have.
Probably so. So, I mean, that would make some sense, and it's going to increase probably by 800 to 1,000 once Pantages gets completed in Newport Landing. That'll probably be another 1,000 population or something. It'll go
The
up.
people have
Then,
already,
but we
have
really
already moved into Seagrass, right?
they've already some, not very many.
Not very
Probably
many.
about, yeah, they can't sell a house over there
Oh, great.
right now. So,
Same thing with Newport.
which
Yeah.
is which brings up our next item, which is a little weird, but anyway, not getting ahead. No, I've been, yeah, I see what you're saying here. And the only way that these would increase, I see how it's necessary to project these out, Justin, but unless they change the urban limit line, those projections aren't really going to happen because we're going to be out of land.
Yeah.
We're
No, that makes.
landlocked by that urban limit line. A couple things. First of all, I completely understand the north part of Tuckini Ranch you mentioned was in the future urban limit line reduction. You mentioned one other area that was in the urban over. Where was that? Above Pantages?
Yeah, it's going to be a subdivision buffer. It was already
It really
zoned.
wasn't buildable land anyway, was it?
No, yeah, it was not buildable land anyway.
That's between Pantages and Orwood. You're talking about that area right there along Kellogg
Yeah,
Creek.
I could pull up a graphic for that. It's
That
not in
swamp
the
right there. Okay, we're good. No,
presentation.
no, no. Don't bother.
Yeah,
I
we're
just want
good.
to make sure I understood where we were having a reduction in the urban limit line, and in fact, just making sure that I understood, not knowing how I need to understand this, but I understood what our region's going to be and what's being reduced for future planning and growth on the other side of the things we need to think about. But that's fine. I get it. I understand completely. Thank you.
Yeah, no worries. I mean, what we kind of The developments that we're aware of are the possible infill that's already been identified in the master plans. And that's, you know, the years that are being assigned are just anybody's crystal ball, anybody's best guess, right?
Sure.
So we are putting forth something. There is some judgment call and there is some discretion here, right? And how this is, how these population projections are going to be presented. The approach that was taken in the 2020 urban plan is really what I'm just kind of carrying forward right now and presenting, which is looking at an initial stage, which is infill and build out of what's already been somewhat identified, which is, you know, infill and Cecchini. And then beyond that, say those happen over a 10-year span, maybe it's a 15-year span. But beyond that, if there is any growth, it hasn't been identified, but there is still land within the urban limit line that's not part of infill and is not part of Cecchini Ranch. And in the absence of any other information, we would just carry forward the historic growth rate of 3.4% as just an average to carry it forward.
Understood.
The result, is that you have a number for your projected demand, and then that can be analyzed in terms of, is that going to result in any sort of water supply restrictions or water shortages or any challenges? And if not, then there is adequate water supply, and then that's been documented that there's adequate water supply for that level of growth.
Cool. Conclusions.
All right. Okay, good. All right, moving on. So I just want to point out that the bottom row here is the what would be in the urban water management plan. That's the SBX 7-7. That's using the target GPCD, the gallons per capita per day of 209. That's what's established in the urban water management plan as your target water usage. And that's how those demand projections work. In actuality, based on your usage, you're using like 190. 2024 was, I didn't show it on here, but it was like 183 gallons per capita per day. So just over and over, I'm kind of just reiterating, it's different than the master plan. You know, it's a different type of demand projection.
Different language for different plans is what you
yeah.
got.
Yeah.
Different standards, I guess, would be a better way to
and,
put it.
And different purposes, too. Different purpose, right? The urban water management plan is to verify you have adequate supply in your groundwater or in however you're obtaining water in your groundwater. Whereas the master plan is, okay, we really need to size infrastructure. So we don't want to oversize, you know, we don't want it to be too big of it. We don't want it to be a very realistic number if we're sizing pipes and wells and things that cost money. But for an urban water management plan, if the county needs it for approving developments, you can have a document that says there is adequate supply for that level of growth. So conclusions are here. We have a 25-year planning horizon that we're developing that'll be consistent with the general plan and consistent with the urban water management plan requirements. We know that the water is reliant on the East Contra Costa subbasin, and you have an approved GSP, which establishes sustainable yield and sustainable management criteria. The numbers we're talking about here in terms of, you know, what that previous slide show is way below what, it doesn't even come close to what the sustainable yield is. You have a groundwater that has a very favorable supply situation, as noted in that GSP. And, you know, so our next steps are really this, you know, getting any sort of feedback right now so you could see what is going to be going in the plan based on how we're developing population and demand projections. And, you know, moving on from there, we'll just be working with staff to make all the other updates within the plan over the next few months.
Who determines whether we need a WSCP? Bullet point two said if needed, and who determines whether it's needed or not? Drop condition or something like that, or what?
I'll make a recommendation based on once the guidebook comes out. I'll review the guidebook and I'll review your water shortage contingency plan and I'll make a recommendation if it should get updated. We'll
There's
work
one
with
in
staff
place
on that.
currently. There's one in place currently.
Yes.
Yes.
And so it's just whether or not we have to update it for the increased population or changes in the demographics or something like that.
Yeah, the water shortage contingency plan is a policy that the board adopted that says if you have a shortage of a certain percentage, the board will take this action. So if you're shortage of
Very good.
10%, you'll do a notification to customers. If you lose two water wells and you have a reduction of 30%, you'll say, okay, we need to have some mandatory restrictions. There's kind of a level and a response that's established, and that was developed to meet these particular guidelines in the urban water management plan. So long as it's serving you well and there isn't any changes in the guidebook that stipulate that your plan is still consistent with the regulations, then there's no need to change it. Yeah.
I think the most important thing for this committee to understand is that your evaluation, when it's all said and done, and you've already alluded to that in your comments in this presentation, is that even with the bringing on of about a 28 maybe percent increase in population when Chicchini gets built, that's a rough number just from looking at what you got here. We will still have plenty, our basin is still plenty capable of sustaining that kind of a population growth. And I think that's really what we need to be
Right.
concerned about when you talk about sustainability. And so that's part of your evaluation and you're confident in that. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah.
Very good. And that's really the important fact, I think, because we do have some big things coming up that
Mm-hmm.
are huge. I mean, Discover Bay West was big when it went, but it's nothing like what Chicchini's doing. Well, it is about the same, actually. That was an increase of 100% population. And this is only increased about 30%. So anyway,
Yeah.
Justin, great presentation. Do you have anything else for us?
No, I mean, eventually I will. I would say just a fo one follow-up, I guess, on that groundwater comment is the groundwater sustainability plan looks at the sustainable yield, and there is we're not even close to reaching that right now in terms of pumping. And the urban water plan, it's kind of like the end of it there for the urban water management plan. But we know, within the town, groundwater and wells are very site specific. So from one site to another, you have different water quality and, kind of different mixture of challenges. So just when it gets down into actually planning your wells and looking at developments and stuff like that, it's just because the groundwater sustainability plan says there's plenty of water, it doesn't necessarily mean that groundwater is an easy thing to accomplish. I think we know there's been some test holes done in like Chicchini where there was some unfavorable water quality. Just kind of
It's been a little bit of a moving target, but I think hopefully we've hit the right hole this time. But that's just kind of the way it works, you know. It's like drilling for oil, man. Sometimes you hit a dry well and sometimes you don't. So
Yeah, it's quality. There's different quality throughout the basin for the different level of treatment that you'd need depending on, the quality of water in the well.
you have anything, Karen, any questions
No.
there? We appreciate that, Justin. I just want to convey my appreciation and my confidence in what you're doing and having worked with you for 8 years or so previous to this kind of in-between area. We appreciate you being on this project. And I think I can speak for general when I
Oh,
say we have confidence
absolutely. Yes.
that we got the right person on the job, and we appreciate how much you have invested in Discovery Bay personally. So thank you for
Yes.
that.
Yes, staff has
Yeah.
been singing your praises, so it's all good.
I look forward to meeting you in person, Carolyn, and I very much appreciate that. Like I said, I'm very, very excited to be working with you guys again.
And happy birthday to the wife. Go blow out the candles or something.
All right. Yeah, will do. All right.
All right, Justin, thank you very much.
Thank you. All right.
So we'll move on to the second item on our agenda for this evening. That's not Justin. That's
No, it's
Mike.
not. Hello.
Mike.
This is item number two, resolution 2025, 13 and 14. You got the floor, Mike.
Thank you. Yes, good evening.
So this the Pantages project, we have of course all the water lines serving the properties and all the sewer lines serving the properties. And all the sewer lines flow to the sewer lift station that the developer built per the plans and specifications approved by the town's engineers, town staff. And all of those facilities are now completed to our satisfaction. The land that the lift station sits on is parcel F within the subdivision. And because the town will be owning the sewer lift station, we will also be owning the land that the sewer lift station will be sitting on. And so the first resolution, 2025-13, is the official acceptance of this Pantages sewer lift station facilities and accepting the property grant deed for the land that those facilities will be sitting on. So this is a formal item that we would recommend we take to the board at the November 19th board meeting for their adoption of that resolution, as well as resolution 2025-14, which is accepting the water distribution system and the wastewater collection system. And of course, all of these facilities were installed at no expense to the town. They were installed by the developer. And again, they have been completed. All punch list items are done, and they are ready for the town to accept.
Well, that went from not that that happened at the end. It happened relatively quickly. I'm a little surprised because we had some discussions about this, and boom, it's done. I was a little surprised when I read the resolutions going, really, we're there already? But will that bring that entire project online for wastewater collection then? So no matter
Well,
what, when they, what, how many homes they sell, it's ready to go.
that's correct. The sewer lift station has the capacity to serve the entire build out of the subdivision, correct?
We're still on a little bit of a building for the water supply side of it, though, correct?
No, the water supply, well,
The well's not done.
yeah, that's true, but we do have capacity now, and we actually have it in our agreement for when the town purchased the land for well 8, as to what we can give them for their lake fill until well 8 comes online. So that's really the only restriction. But as of right now, they've been able to do lake fill without any problems from our system.
We'd only have an issue if all of a sudden 300 homes went up at once and well 8 wasn't done. Then we'd have an issue, but we know that's not going to happen.
Right. Where the way things are, we are fine. Yes, correct.
Okay. Okay. Then I think that the
Well, I think it
committee.
looks good. Yeah, my only comment would be is on the documents that we change it from Pantages to Seagrass, just so it reflects the current full team name.
My suggestion on that would be to leave it at Pantages because that is who signed the agreement with the town for the
The change
pre-annexation
of name is an
agreement.
internal thing for Pulte. I don't, it probably doesn't affect this contract.
I would have to defer to legal, but I we in the
Okay,
resolution we reference.
well, you can just run it by Andy then, just to see.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great. I'm glad we're here.
This is good.
I think that the board, the committee would recommend to the board that they go ahead
Absolutely.
and pass these resolutions when they up for bid, up for the next meeting.
Okay.
I appreciate that. Mike, is that all you have for us on that?
That's all I have. So thank you very much and have a good evening.
Okay,
Right.
take care.
Thank
Thanks for
you.
being here.
Okay. Bye.
Item three, who's going to handle that?
Your water waste.
Discussion impossible to introduce the way first amendment. Okay, so I looked at that and I want to tell you, I did not read all of it. I did not read all, I don't know what, 18 pages of it or whatever it happens to be here. But I can see that a lot of hard work and diligence we used our consultant to put this together.
No, so this is our water ordinance. So instead of writing a separate policy for the cross connection, we embedded it into our original water
Which is why
ordinance.
it's a new
That's
section
correct.
within that
Yes.
policy. Who did this? Who did
Who?
put it together?
There you are.
Who? Aaron?
Legal mostly.
Okay.
Yeah.
in law school in the evening, apparently, because there's an awful lot of legalese here.
That's not me.
Yeah.
Well, I listen.
I gave him the baseline, and he, you know,
I'm
did the legal stuff.
I'm sure it was a joint effort.
It was.
Yeah. He had to rely on you to give him a lot of information so he could put the right legal words behind it.
Yes.
And it looks very comprehensive to me. Again, I know this is being recorded, but I confess I have not read every word of it. But I trust our staff and I trust our legal
so
to have done the right thing.
What they did was we did a whole presentation and a previous Water and Wastewater Committee.
Right.
We took those recommendations. We worked with Aaron and he worked with legal and we incorporated into the ordinance number 7.
Yeah.
So right, basically writing an ordinance for option A, which would be the property owned ordinance.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask
that
real briefly about just for clarification purposes. So these ordinances apply to option A.
Correct. Property owned.
The wastewater committee chose.
Property owned, yes.
The board has not yet made that choice.
Correct.
Correct.
But there's no ordinances for option B.
No.
No.
We need a direction on which ordinance to write for. That's what's being presented tonight is for option A, property owned.
I think I like your chart, the A-B chart.
Yes.
You know, responsibilities and how that decision was made. I think that'll make it very clear to the board when they make their decision why we chose option A. And I think it's well done. When's that coming to the board?
Tonight?
Oh, great. Well, I think that we could support your
Just one real quick question. No, that's great. You took everything that we discussed at that meeting. And then were there any other changes? Because I know they kept dropping in changes. There's no other changes in here that we need to be aware of.
No, no other changes. This is just a comprehensive version of a property owner ordinance.
Memorized all that. So we're good to go.
Okay. great job. No, all kidding aside, though. Seriously.
You did a good job.
Amazing. Because I know that really, because of what the state has required or failed to identify to require, all the I's had to be dotted and the T's had to be crossed.
Just
when
recently,
did the state receive a copy of this after we voted on it?
So the ordinance is for us. So what happened was is we submitted our plan, our cross-connection policy plan to the state back June 30th. They just...
We have an ordinance.
No ordinance yet. We had to create a plan first.
Right.
And if they approve the plan, then we can create the ordinance. 3 weeks ago, we got an email from the state saying they has officially accepted our
plan. Yeah, that's a big deal. That's a big deal because we didn't know, they didn't give any guidelines.
Yeah, if you wrote an ordinance before, then you're going to be handcuffed to whatever.
I want to thank Veolia for their help in this also because I'm sure they had a hand in it. And I think the state's probably a little surprised we're ahead of the game. We're probably one of the few water districts that are ahead of the game on this.
Yeah, I had a meeting with the state. They got a lot going on.
And you know what the good part about that is? They know we're on top of it. And it probably comes with a little less of a microscope on it. A little bit less maybe oversight because we're on top of it. We're doing what they want. So
I hope so.
To be on the good side of the state. They're doing their job.
Mm-hmm.
But
absolutely.
It's a pain. Okay, I am now at the point where I say meeting's adjourned. There we go. Thank you very much. Can we turn off the